Are you ready to live a more meaningful and passionate life? Through the principles of heart living, you'll delve into new theories, discover life wisdom, and achieve greater balance. Become inspired. Tune in to Dr. Cynthia Bischoff, international life coach and practitioner who's helped thousands transform their lives. Part of the Dream Vision 7 radio network, Heart Living with Dr. Cynthia Bischoff will lead you on a remarkable journey of the heart.
Welcome to the Heart Living with Dr. Cynthia Bischoff show. I'm Dr. Cynthia Bischoff, your host. You're listening to a live Dream Vision 7 radio network broadcast at 1510 AM WMEX Boston, heard live every first Sunday at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. You can also tune into my show on the Dream Vision 7 radio network every Wednesday at 2 p.m. and 2 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. To learn more and for a full station broadcast schedule, go to dreamvision7radio.com. Thanks so much for tuning in. Our topic is you and your guardian angel. Spiritual authors and metaphysicians tell us that the angels are seeking to communicate with us so that we may develop a closer and a deeper connection than we may have ever experienced. In my own program in metaphysics, in my PhD program, I studied angels and what has been referred to as angelology. And much of what I'm going to share on our show today comes from that study. I really enjoyed this work very much, and I feel that it enhanced my understanding not only of spirituality, of course, but also of spiritual beings. So I'm excited to share some of that information with you today. And just to give you an overview of what we will be discussing, we'll talk about the angels, and in particular, your guardian angel. I want to focus on the guardian angel, but I also will share information about the archangels as well. We'll talk about the history of the power and presence of angels. I want to introduce you to what is known in metaphysics. It's actually a meditation that I love to do, but it's known as the secret. It's called the secret of the rose and the star in regard to accessing and connecting with your angel. So again, I'll talk to you about that meditation and how you can actually participate in it yourself. I also will talk about what are called the traditional signs that help you know that your angels are drawing close and making contact with you. We'll look at what's called angelic energy function, and this is energy function as related to your chakra system. So even though I won't focus as much on explaining the seven chakras, I will talk about them very briefly so that I can share the angelic energy function of each chakra. There is also, interestingly, specific hours in clock time, and these are called the angelic hours. And so, I'll tell you what those are. And finally, toward the end, I want to explain a visualization, again, that you can use to meet and also to work with your guardian angel. So just to get started, let's talk about what is an angel. It seems like we need to define that and talk about that in order to really understand the whole gist of all of the information. So in metaphysics, an angel is considered to be an eternal spiritual being. Again, an eternal spiritual being. And this is a being that is sent from a higher power. Now, you know, from a non-denominational standpoint, the higher power can be referred to by a lot of different names. For some, they may call this higher power God or Allah or Great Spirit, but a higher power. And it's believed that the angels are given orders to guide humans, but to guide humans into the energies of peace and love. So overall, again, the angels are given orders to guide us into energies of peace and love. Now, from an historical standpoint, angels are actually believed to have been around for millennia, you know, well before humans were around. And the word angel itself is said to come from the Latin angelus, A-N-G-E-L-U-S, and also the Greek word is angelos, A-N-G-E-L-O-S. But either one of those words means the same thing, which is one going or one sent. So again, one going or one sent. And in a Catholic dictionary that I looked into, it said that angel actually means messenger. So you could think of someone coming to give a message, someone who's been sent or coming to assist you in some way to give you a message. Now, in a Sanskrit spiritual text called the Bhagavad Gita, there is a quote, and in that quote it says that the Supreme Lord says to man of all angels, Behold my hundreds and thousands of divine forms that come in different colors and shapes. And this was a way to describe the angels, again, as thousands of different divine forms, but coming in different colors and shapes. And historically, it was also believed that God sent a spirit to watch over every individual. And that's where we get the idea, again, of the guardian angel, that you have, each of us has an angel watching over us. And it was common, actually, in ancient Greek philosophy, this idea of the guardian angel. And Plato actually alludes to it in his work. So to kind of tell you a little more about the history, in the Middle Ages, it was actually believed that the heavens and the stars and all parts of the cosmos, they were believed to be alive. And I think that's just a beautiful, you know, a beautiful thing to imagine, that heavens, stars, all parts of the cosmos were alive. Therefore, the heavens were considered to be full of spirits and also full of God, you know, energy of God. And so from that, it was believed that we got the words of the prayer of the Our Father, our Father who art in heaven. And it's, you know, again, said to come from that concept. There is a theologian, Matthew Fox, and it's F-O-X, just like it sounds. He's a very well-known spiritual teacher, contemporary teacher, and he's written a number of books. I read them quite a few years back, actually, but they're very, you know, they're written in a way that they're contemporary. You would read them now and get lots out of them. One book he wrote was called Original Blessing. Wonderful book. So if you're interested in that idea of the heavens and God and the spirits, totally recommend reading Matthew Fox's work. So in addition, throughout history, there were three thinkers or philosophers who devoted a lot of their intellectual labor to what was called angelology. And these three major thinkers of the West were Dionysius, who was a Syrian monk, and this was in the 6th century. Hildegard von Bingen, B-I-N-G-E-N, was a German abbess of the 12th century. And St. Thomas Aquinas, who was a philosopher and theologian of the 13th century. So if you were interested in doing much more extensive study of angelology, you would want to look into those three individuals. You'd find a lot on the Internet about that. But anyway, as time went on in the 17th and 18th centuries, of course, we had the Industrial Revolution and an emphasis on science and mechanics. And really, at that time, there became little or no room for angels in terms of a subject of science and theology. But since the beginning of time, angels have been said to deliver God's messages to humankind. And if we look at it from a spiritual and an academic standpoint, angelic messages had purposes, and they were primarily intended to, first of all, provide warnings of impending danger. So angels were sent to let us know that something was about to happen, so warnings of impending danger. They also provided instructions as to what to do in a particular situation. So whether the situation were dangerous or not, if a certain situation occurred, they provided instructions. They also, there was information that guardian angels were simply there, you know, as protection, you could say, from enemy forces or from anything that would harm a person. And again, each person had a guardian angel. And the fourth sort of purpose, if we want to call it that, of angels was to provide joyful announcements. Remember Gabriel, in announcing the birth of Jesus, you know, gave that joyful announcement. So in joyful announcements, that was a fourth reason that we would have angels who would come to us. And the Roman Catholic Church calendar of saints does include a specific day, and it's October 2nd. So just to let you know, that's the memorial for guardian angels, and again, it's October the 2nd. And there is also a feast of St. Michael and all the angels, and that's how it's termed, a feast of St. Michael and all the angels, that is held on September 29th. So again, Guardian Angels Day, October 2nd, and St. Michael and all the angels is September 29th. So what about, again, this purpose of angels? You know, what's the reason we have angels, especially our guardian angel? Well, the angel's mission could be small or could be large. And just a couple of examples. Angels could be called upon to, let's say, help a warring, or to help warring countries, okay, in order to come to some kind of peaceful resolution. So we could call on angels to assist in a huge venture, like helping countries to come to some kind of a peaceful resolution. But they also could be called upon to heal a problematic relationship, like within a family. So it doesn't have to be worldwide. It could be very small in terms of one family. Or if there were a person who was suffering, you know, with tremendous anxiety or just suffering with a kind of lack of peace in their lives or who needed healing, you know, they could definitely be called upon to help a person to be brought to some peaceful state or to be brought into a healing kind of energy or healing state. And by the way, unlike popular artists' drawings, even though there's a traditional look to the angel, it's believed that the angels do not necessarily have huge wings, you know, or think of the Valentine, the cherubic faces, or even that they have human-like bodies. You know, they don't necessarily, it's believed they don't really have to have that at all. That's our convention for our way to identify them. And again, they're just our conventions because we believe they must look like us to some extent, you know, with a human-like body. But actually, in angelology, it's believed that angels are what's called androgynous. You know, in other words, they're neither male nor female. And even though they may appear to be or feel like to us that they're male or female, and in addition, they're considered to be ego-less. What I loved when I learned about it was that rather than to rely upon rational thinking, they operate completely out of their intuition, which is considered a much higher level operational feature than, you know, logic. And so they're egoless and they operate out of intuition. Now, they can appear as belonging to any culture at all. So, you know, again, you may be familiar from your own culture with what angels look like, but they can belong to any culture and appear as belonging to any culture. They can also appear as any size, okay, small, large. And the angel's role, again, is to assist humans on Earth to help us. And it's believed that they help us by protecting us. So number one is they're there for our protection. You call upon them for protection. We call upon them to heal us. So if you're in need of healing, any level, body, mind, or spirit, you call upon angels. And the third, and I think this is really powerful too, is you call upon them to raise the consciousness level of yourself and all humanity. So again, to help us in some way, to protect us, to heal us, to raise the consciousness level of all humanity. But the overall goal is really considered to be to heal humanity. That's why they're here, is to heal humanity. So since they are of spirit, it is believed that there are no limitations as to what they're able to do. So, you know, we can't apply to them our conventions, for example, of time and space and logic, because they have no limitations like that. And it's important to know that they don't, again, work within any kind of boundaries of time and space. Okay, so, you know, we might think that they couldn't possibly do X, Y, or Z, but that's not true for them. So they don't have the same boundaries of time and space. They do exist as energy that's not bound by time and space. And another wonderful thing about the angels is that they don't belong to a particular religious sect. So, you know, they're not strictly Christian, nor Jewish, or any other particular faith. So there's no differentiation like that. That would be our application, certainly not theirs. So people of all spiritual traditions can find a way to connect and communicate with their own personal angels. They're very universal and, again, considered to be available to every human. So I have been asked in classes, I did a workshop last month on angels, particularly we worked on the guardian angel and the archangels, but some people said, well, you know, if we can receive assistance from the angels and our guardian angel in particular, well, how does our free will factor into this? And that's a great question, so I wanted to be sure to include it today. So in the subject of angelology, it's believed that because we have free will, that the angels cannot help us with a specific matter until we decide to ask for help from them. And this is really a big feature of angelology that I learned in the PhD program, that you actually have to ask for help. And this requires, of course, asking the angels to become part of our lives. And you can directly ask them to help you, or you can ask God through prayer to ask them to assist you and so on, but you have to ask for the help. So again, this is, again, part of that tradition. And there's considered to be the one angel above all who is with each of us from before our conception until after our earthly death. And if you do believe in reincarnation, and I do, there is the belief, because I teach in Japan as well, there is the belief that this particular guardian angel is with you through all your incarnations, which is really kind of a cool thought that you have this guardian angel who knows you from the beginning of your own inception through, you know, all of your incarnations. And I'm sure, you know, you've heard that this famous angel is called the guardian angel. It's interesting, in Japan they sometimes refer to it as our spirit guardian versus the idea of guardian angel, but it means really the same thing. So this personal, ever-present guardian angel or spirit guardian makes sure that you receive, again, the help, the protection, and the healing that you need. So let's now talk about this guardian angel more specifically. There's a famous prayer, and I learned it as a child. Many of my clients had never heard of it, so I want to share it with you. But this famous prayer is often learned by children at a young age, and you traditionally see the guardian angel saying the prayers with the child as the child kneels by the bedside. And often that's, you know, you'd see that picture, or you'd see the guardian angel carrying a child, carrying children sometimes, or walking them across a bridge. And again, that's when you'll see this prayer. And I'll tell you what the prayer is. It's like this. Angel of God, my guardian dear, to whom God's love commits me here, ever this day be at my side, to light, to guard, to rule, to guide. And then, of course, it ends amen, which it stands for so be it. Okay. So, angel of God, my guardian dear, to whom God's love commits me here, ever this day be at my side, to light, to guard, to rule, to guide. Amen. So it's just a beautiful prayer, and you can easily Google that. The guardian angel prayer is what it's called. So the specific qualities and attributes, you know, that are given to this special being. So we said that the guardian angels are assigned to us before we're born. And they're with us every moment of our lifetime, of our incarnation. You know, they help us in all transitions and experiences from birth to death. So they're with you every step of the way. And they are said to be there to guide us, to help us to live our lives to the fullest. So those who believe in the concept, again, of reincarnation, generally believe that it's the same one through every lifetime, and you know, this one knows us better than anyone else. And the amount of influence that your guardian angel has, remember, is a decision that you make. So you've got to decide to ask. They cannot help you unless you ask. And they respect your free will. So again, you must ask to receive their help and guidance. But they do, it is said, they always respect who we are. So they're going to respect your strengths. They're going to respect your need for help, for example, with any challenges that you're going to face. They want to encourage your growth, your soulful growth. And they certainly want to help you to meet your life mission in that lifetime, absolutely. Now, another beautiful thing about them that I learned, and this, you know, was just really a favorite part of it for me, was that they are said to lack judgment about you. So they do not judge you. They're very unconditionally loving. They don't judge you. And they're always present no matter how dark the road may get. So no matter what's going on, no matter how many times you may have done something that was not even in your own best interest, let's say you're a heavy saboteur, you know, and you keep doing something that sabotages yourself, no matter, they will not judge you, no matter how you decide to live your life, but they are always there to assist you, to guide you, to protect you, and also to help you if you request their help. It's your choice, though, to ask for their help. And certainly, you know, you can use their wisdom to help guide your life. And we'll talk also about how do these angels help you. You know, they're going to talk to you often through omens and signs in nature. You know, you see the license plate that you didn't expect, or you have a dream, and we'll get into that after our first break. But it's believed that a guardian angel really is steadfastly with us, with this human soul during every moment it spends on Earth, either sleeping or waking. And at the person's death, the guardian angel receives it into the spiritual world. And in some literature, it's believed that the angel works to gently unbind, is the way it's said, unbind the person's soul from Earth and lift it entirely away from what are called the knotted cords of the Earth plane. And that's taught, again, in that subject of angelology. The guardian angel cannot prevent its human charge from meeting their karma along the way, but according, again, they can protect you against unnecessary, and it's kind of interesting the way it's said, unnecessary pitfalls and accidents. So the angels believe to be able to help steer a path through the soul's karma so that the effects are creative rather than destructive. And I loved how that sounded to me, too. It's like, you know, it'll assist you to work through the karma creatively rather than destructively or whatever your challenges are, but only if you ask and are open and willing to be helped. So in their essence, guardian angels are really said to be architects and builders, and I just think that's a beautiful thought as well. You know, it's the idea that when you tune in and begin to really work with your angel, your life usually changes toward greater development and contribution. And I want to stress the way I was taught this, greater development and contribution without limitation. They help to lift you from limitations. And a person's skill and dedication to more positive living itself tends to become greater when they're in connection with the guardian angel, you know, creating quicker and greater results for a positive life. So if you're seeking life change toward the greater good and you want to develop a conscious relationship, this will give you some ideas today. It is time for a break. I'm Dr. Cynthia Bischoff, your host for Heart Living with Dr. Cynthia Bischoff, live with Dream Vision 7 Radio Network, 1510 AM, WMEX, Boston. And we'll be back for further tips on you and your guardian angel. To call in during the second half of the show, the local number is 617-237-1234 or toll-free 866-338-9663. Thank you.
Are you ready to live a more meaningful and passionate life? Through the principles of heart living with Dr. Cynthia Bischoff, international life coach and energy medicine practitioner, you'll delve into new theories, discover life wisdom, and achieve greater balance. Become inspired. Connect with Dr. Cynthia Bischoff through her Dream Vision 7 radio show, Heart Living with Dr. Cynthia Bischoff. Visit Cynthia's website at heartliving.com and like her Facebook page at facebook.com/heartliving for inspiration and guidance. Cynthia has helped thousands transform their lives. Let her lead you on a remarkable journey of the heart.
J.T. Lewis is the big brother of Jesse Lewis, who died in Sandy Hook Elementary on December 14, 2012, while saving the lives of nine of his classmates. J.T. found comfort after Rwandan orphan genocide survivors reached out to him from their country to express their condolences and share their personal stories of tragedy and healing. Inspired by the love that was shown to him, J.T. started Newtown Helps Africa, a nonprofit organization that helps young people in Africa and beyond who've suffered personal tragedy and have shown resilience. He successfully sent one young Rwandan woman to college for 4 years and plans to do much more, all the while inspiring many young people around the world to turn hardship into an opportunity to make the world a better place. Link on to NewtownHelpsRwanda.org.
Take a journey to a place of the divine love within with Deborah Bovee on the Love by Intuition show, Sundays 9 to 10 p.m. Our message is love in the purest form. The light within us all is a guide to recall our beginning, to learn to love self and humankind, to feel the higher power of our own divinity. To attract love, one needs to be love. Sunday 9 to 10 p.m., all part of the Dream Vision 7 radio network. Join us on Creating a Spirited Life with Janet Kesenick the third Sunday of every month at 8 p.m. We'll explore the day-to-day moments that puzzle, enlighten, and bring us into deeper connection with our best selves. Find meaning, purpose, and humor while creating a spirited life. This program is part of the Dream Vision 7 radio network.
Tune in every first Sunday at 6 p.m. for Maximum Success, the Coach Brew Show. You'll learn success strategies to take your game to the next level from performance consultant John Brubaker. Maximum Success explores why winners win and teaches you the keys to peak performance. This program is part of the Dream Vision 7 radio network.
Life. We can either be bystanders or creators. Now is the time to awaken to your divine identity and the power of the I Am within to create a joyous and fulfilled life, no matter what your circumstances are. There are answers to life's big questions, and there is a spiritual path that leads to soul liberation and ascension. Join us every third Sunday of the month at 6 p.m. Eastern Time for Prophets for the New Age with Carl and Nancy Showalter on Dream Vision 7 Radio Network.
Join us every second Sunday at 7 p.m. for Living on Purpose with Carolyn Romano, where we explore the mysteries, meaning, and sometimes madness of life. Let's figure out together the ways we're meant to serve and become the fullest expressions of our most authentic selves. Let's figure out together how to create lives of balance, abundance, and joy. This program is part of the Dream Vision 7 Radio Network.
Welcome back. You're listening to a Dream Vision 7 radio live broadcast here at 1510 AM WMEX Radio Boston. I'm Dr. Cynthia Bischoff, host of Heart Living with Dr. Cynthia Bischoff, and our topic this evening is you and your guardian angel. So we spoke earlier about seeking life change toward the greater good and developing a conscious relationship with our guardian angel. So I want to continue to tell you a little bit about the guardian angel and how you can, in fact, establish a more conscious relationship. So did you know that your guardian angel can do what is called bilocating, meaning being in two places or more at one time? Remember, they do not have the conventions of time and space that we do. And this basically means that we can ask our guardian angel to help another person in a critical situation without ever leaving us. And the angel can be in more than one place, so again, not bound by time and space as humans are, they could help and protect another person. And this is so empowering in regard to asking an angel to join another person's angel. If there is someone, for example, a child, a person who's ill, an aging parent, whomever you feel like could use the help of your angel, it doesn't diminish anything that angel would be doing for you. So how do we receive messages from our angels? Let's take a look at that. Well, there are a variety of ways that are said to be the typical message ways to receive messages from the angels. One is that you may just have a strange feeling that you should or should not do something. You know, you just get this hunch, I need to do something or I need not to do something. If you were planning a trip and suddenly you change the route, that kind of thing. They're said to speak to us in those kinds of ways. Or let's say you've had an eerie sense that something is going to happen, or that you just know that something might be happening. You know, you get an intuitive hunch about something. That would be another way that they may speak to you. Or here's an interesting one. Things may appear to block your progress in some way. Let's say something holds you back from moving forward. Again, as I mentioned earlier, even in taking a trip or taking a certain route. And it's perhaps the angel is keeping you from harm in that way. And since much communication comes through feelings, it's believed that angels have a harder time communicating us or through with us, let's say, when our emotions are really high or turbulent. So it's easier for them to drop in messages when we are in a greater state of peace or balance. So, again, angels may also come to you with words. You may actually hear a word or just have a hunch like you know a word or you know something. It's believed they do so telepathically, although they can certainly make an appearance in human form. Their physical form is simply, again, for humankind, since remember they don't need earthly form, but maybe they need to come and speak to us. Now, there's certainly countless stories about people who, and I've had clients tell me this, had an elderly client who told me that she, not long ago actually, she was in a car accident, and she was very anxious. She's in her early 80s. She was very anxious, and she didn't know whether to get out of the car or not, and suddenly a woman came up to her, knocked on the window and said, you know, do you have a cell phone? We can make a call. Well, it turns out that woman was not wasn't in the car that hit her, and when the police came, she looked around and never saw the woman. But the woman eased her anxiety so much by talking with her, by assisting her in using her cell phone, which she wasn't as familiar with, and all of that. So, you know, was that an angel that had appeared in physical form? We're not sure. But in metaphysics, it's believed that any living human being could summon tens of thousands of angels and never deplete the supply. And I always think that's a lovely thought about abundance of support and protection. Because, again, calling on the assistance of angels is what summons them. Now, there are also stories that they can, you know, they have great power, so they can locate objects, they can lift cars, they can jerk steering wheels and all of this. So, you know, don't underestimate the power in a physical way. They can also help to heal cellular memory, you know, which is the memory contained in the cells of our bodies, either from this life or even a past life. And we talked earlier about them understanding through their intuition. So essentially, they are beings who are experts at understanding through intuition. So they don't need reasoning, they don't need experimentation to learn, and they understand immediately as well, so intuitively and immediately. And by the way, if you're interested in these ideas, those are taken from the work of an individual who's a philosopher and writes a great deal about angels, and his last name is Sheldrake. S-H-E-L-D-R-A-K-E, so S-H-E-L-D-R-A-K-E, Rupert Sheldrake. You could certainly Google him and find lots of more information about the angels. And the idea then is that we're more aligned with the angels' vibrations when we are in touch with our own intuition. So when we're not as locked into like linear ideas, it can only happen this way, and this is the only way this healing can take place, and that idea. When we're less locked into linear thinking and more in touch and open-minded about possibilities and our own intuition, then we're more aligned with the angel's vibrations. Now, this is another thing. Angels speak to us primarily through our heart chakra. And I think this is really interesting, too, that, you know, we have seven centers of energy in the body, and the heart chakra is right where we would imagine it to be, right at the heart. And it's believed that the angels speak to us through our heart center. And angels and their energy, then, are often found when we're performing meditation. And it's believed that to be silent and to be still is what invokes the angels to come to us. When you're dreaming, you know, you're basically silent, and angels are attracted to that. So earlier I talked about a 12th century Christian mystic, and her name is Hildegard von Bingen. And I have to tell you, I've read about her life, I've listened to her music, I've looked at her art. She was an absolutely amazing, brilliant musician, artist, and mystic. And in her work, she talks a great deal about the angels. So again, Hildegard von Bingen, 12th century Christian German mystic. And she tells us that the angels are amazed at us because of our holy works, as she calls it, on a difficult earth plane. And she says if we just call in the name of God, the angels rush in to protect and assist us out of love for us. But if you were to look at her paintings, listen to her music, you would be amazed at the brilliance of her work. She pointed out that throughout the scriptures there are passages in which the angels came to people in dreams and in waking consciousness. So again, other signs that angels are drawing close, you know, particularly the guardian angel. You'll have a sudden flash of inspiration. You have an idea, you don't know where it came from, but it's just a sudden flash of inspiration. And she also said that maybe you'll experience a movement of material or physical matter, like you lost something and then you found it, even though you know you looked in that place before and it was not there, suddenly now it's there. Or it's in a place you know you could not have put it, that type of idea, something's lost and then found. Or you get some kind of unexpected intuitive knowledge, and you just suddenly get a hunch that you couldn't possibly know. She said when you have an instant feeling of well-being, or just a feeling of love and peace within your heart, or a warmth in your heart. It's also believed that angels can let us know they're there, like we'll have a feeling around our bodies like a movement of energy. It's actually been referred to like a breeze of light. There's sort of a little breeze of light or a feeling of a movement of energy. Interesting, too, is the idea that you might have a beautiful fragrance that you'll smell, and roses are considered to be the highest vibrational flower, and so it's called the highest vibrational fragrance as well. So maybe you'll have the smell of you know, lavender or rose. Another one, soft strands of music that may linger as if floating in the distance, just like a chord of music. A flicker out of the corner of your eye, you know, you think you saw a little light flash. I get that actually quite frequently, just a flicker out of the corner of your eye. And, you know, if you try to look at it, it's gone. Or maybe lights are going to manifest, sometimes little images of dancing lights,
a hue, like a rainbow hue from a crystal, that kind of thing. Or again, just a sense of peace and calm and feeling blessed. Okay, those are ways that angels will let you know they're present. Now, certain writers over the centuries have associated angels with the appearance in the clouds of images, and there are common images traditionally, and I'll name a few, a dove, seeing an image of a dove in the clouds, again, a rose, an image of a swan, a heart, a star, a sword, interestingly, an eye, a flowering tree, an eagle. And so you could also Google appearance in the clouds of images of angels and see a whole lot historically about that. But primarily they're said to communicate through our dreams when they need to give us an important feeling or message. And what is the most angelic signature of all to let you know an angel is around, interestingly, is a white feather. And I've always loved that, that you'll happen to find a white feather in an unusual place. So let's go back to communicating with your guardian angel. In your relationship with your guardian angel, there are said to be six essentials for calling on the angel. One, you have to ask. Two, you've got to feel like the angel is your partner, to start to partner with the angel. Trust the angel to protect you. Release your fears and worries and assume that the angel is going to help you with that. Allow yourself to receive. You've got to be in a receptive mood. And then finally, be able to say thank you, to have gratitude. Okay, it's time for a break. I'm Dr. Cynthia Bischoff, your host for Heart Living with Dr. Cynthia Bischoff, live with Dream Vision 7 Radio Network, 1510 AM WMEX Boston.